This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Check it out. You already know this your folks, Trillville.
Yes, sir.
And you already know you tune in to 92.9 The Game with who?
Andy and Randy.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back, man.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, final hour for us, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes from right now. As the Hawks are back in action tonight, we'll talk a little bit about that. Big hockey game coming up tonight. Some breaking news out of the NBA just a couple of minutes ago as well. Smokin' Joe Patrick going to join us in 20 minutes from now. Talk a little Falcons with him ahead of the Combine next week, where Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris will be on hand and meeting with the media, certainly evaluating players and all of that stuff. So we'll get Joe in here for some Falcons conversation. And then we'll get to an AMA at 1:40 as well. Any question, any topic, phone number is 404-726-0929 if you want to call us up and ask us anything.
All right. So we just talked about the news about Victor Wembanyama. He has, they're saying, I was trying to listen to Sean. He was listening right before we came on. I guess that he was going to be probably out for tonight with an illness. And so they've been running tests for the past couple of days, he said, since he got back from the All-Star game. And obviously they found this in one of the scans or whatever. They're still doing tests on him, everything, but they think it's an isolated type thing.
Good.
Or something like that. But yeah, that's a crazy ass situation right now.
Yeah, so deep vein thrombosis is blood clots.
Blood clots. Yeah.
It's a blood clot.
Yes.
And that's, you know, again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know a whole lot about that.
Nope.
I do not. But that is that's what Chris Bosh dealt with,
yep.
Right? And,
yep.
And ended his career prematurely in Miami because no one would clear him. I understand you don't want to run the risk of a guy, you know, getting, you know, seriously. It's not even injured, seriously, you know, hurt.
Yes,
could potentially die.
Yes,
so you understand teams being very careful with these sorts of things. That really sucks. I mean, stuff like this is just such a, you know, you can't. You plan for ankle sprains. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You plan for bumps and bruises.
But you don't plan this.
There's nothing you can. You just no way of knowing.
No.
There's no way of knowing with stuff like this. And so hopefully, like you said, isolated. And I don't know. I have no idea what the treatment is or anything like that, how you deal with stuff like that. I've read a little bit from people that I guess know about it that they're saying with taller folks, with folks his size, it's even scarier.
Right.
I don't know why that is, but okay. Yeah, that sucks, man. One of the bright young stars in the NBA. Shut down for the remainder of the season with something that's real scary.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things. And like you just said, it's hopefully it is something, like I said, isolated. He will not play anymore this season, and it's just something that, you know, he can come back from there. From the reports from Shams, it looks like they anticipate him being ready for the offseason and going on to for the 2025 season. But right now, yeah, he's shut down. And like they said, they're going to continue running tests. But they brought when he got back from the All-Star game, I guess he wasn't feeling well or whatever. They did tests, and that's what he found.
Dang. And they're playing tonight against the Suns on TNT in Austin, Texas, which is just a cool thing. Like that's a cool deal that they're doing that.
Yeah.
So obviously they'll talk a lot about it tonight. I would guess between now, because that game's at 9:30.
Right.
Between now and the game and the TNT crew and all those guys, they'll have a lot more information on it and be able to fill us in on it a little bit more. But, yeah, we're going to learn This is one of the great things about sports that you never anticipate. You get to learn about deep vein thrombosis.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that
never
was.
Never knew what it was.
And by the time I go to bed tonight, I'll have a working knowledge of deep vein thrombosis.
Yes, and speaking of Texas, we just said Steve Sarkisian, he's got a new contract. The top side at $12.3 million.
Good for him,
good
man.
Good for Steve.
Like,
man.
Legitimately, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you know more of him than I do. He seemed like he's a good dude.
He
seemed like he's a good dude.
Mostly good.
That's had demons.
Yes.
And got over his demon. Like, he got his shawty back, too.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I say, maybe she's just.
Like a new one, or?
No, same one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it looked like it during the playoffs.
Good.
She shawty was walking on his
that's
arm.
Good.
So hopefully, you know, got him a nice little shawty.
Because, again, you're talking about his ex-wife?
No, his wife's wife.
Oh, his wife?
The one from Texas. They had split. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought
they had been. Okay, good.
Yeah, back together.
Yeah, no, he's a good dude. He had his issues with, obviously he had his off the field issues and one time on the field issues with drinking. So awesome to see someone bounce back from that for sure. And keep that. It seems like something that he's doing really well with. He was not the easiest guy to deal with at times, but things weren't going great at times. So I understand that.
Right.
He was a little snarky, a little sarky. You even saw him do that. Remember that before the bowl game a couple of years ago? Like, he kind of like caught him on mic yelling at like the operations manager at the game. The guy touched, trying to hold him back. Don't touch me. It's like, all right, Sark. Come on, dude.
All right, dude, you're not going to play.
The guy's just doing his job.
Yeah, hey, hold on, guys. You can't come out yet. Get your hands off me.
Yeah, all right, dude. Chill out.
Every time I think about that, I always go back to thinking about that one skit with when Jamie Foxx is on the couch with Denzel, and Denzel grabs his arm, and Jamie Yake, get your hands off me. That's what's starting right here, right
now. That
there.
Is what it
Get
that is.
Get your hands off of me.
One of my buddies who was a reporter who covered the team at the time, the Huskies, when he was there, was friends with some of the guys that he ran with, and they had a receipt from, like a literal receipt from one of the like the main spots that people would go to that was like 6 feet tall of just Patron.
Yes.
Like, it was just straight up. They just had a Patron night. And they printed out the itemized thing. Maybe they got the cash back from the school on it. I don't know. But the receipt was literally 6 feet tall.
I never had a receipt.
He was standing next to it. It was taller than
that. Never had a receipt that long, but the long receipts was about Patron, and that's to this day why I don't drink anymore.
Really?
That
night?
To this day. That night, Andy, is the reason I don't drink Patron anymore.
When I worked for the director of student services at BU, we had our big end of semester event right before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
At this old bar in Boston, and that was the goal every single year, was to beat the record from the year before of the receipt, see if we could get it longer.
So how was this out there spending the folks' money?
Well, it's private school.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay.
We're paying it back. Don't worry. The government emails me every single month to get that check, okay? I'm paying it back with interest every single month. And it's funny, because at the time we were like, you know, this $8 shot's going to actually cost us $11.50
right.
In the long run. That bottoms up.
Bottoms up.
Who cares?
Hey, we might as well have a good time.
Might as well enjoy it. But yeah, I will say that my second year there, we did set the record. We did have the longest receipt in BU Comgrad history for drinks.
That's awesome.
So there we go.
Proud.
I have a legacy.
There was this guy we had here, Andy Bucker.
At one time, he sure could drink.
This guy, Andy Bucker. This guy, Andy Bucker, put it on it.
All right, let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Fox was bouncing it outside. He's picked up by Dyson. Fox trying to drive. He lays it up and no good. Rebound jammed back in by Wembanyama.
Was that the last game before the break? No, they play the Knicks.
So but it was one of the.
What I was going to say was, were the Hawks the last team Wemby played?
No, that was the last game before the trade deadline.
Okay.
Yeah, because remember, DeAndre Hunter was guarding him.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that was the last game before the trade deadline.
That was the last game
before the trade deadline.
That's right. That was a good game, actually.
Yes, it was.
But the news is, and we just talked about it briefly, but Wemby's out for the rest of the year. Victor Wembanyama, deep vein thrombosis, that's blood clots in his shoulder, out of an abundance of caution, which rightfully so. They're going to shut him down for the rest of the year, and obviously hope that's it. Hopefully they get it figured out, and he's back for a long, successful career. The man's 20 years old.
Yes.
And he's got...
I got a lot of... A lot.
He's got as much as, like... I mean, when's the last time a 20-year-old had the NBA at his fingertips, LeBron? Like it's LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what
mm-hmm.
it is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it hasn't been since then or even maybe before that that mm-hmm. a 20-year-old has had the expectations on his shoulder, that Wemby has right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously, hopefully they can get that taken care of. Hawks are back at it tonight as well. Everybody's healthy, at least.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
deep vein thrombosis.
Yeah, was it Clint's coming back? So that was the biggest thing. But no, I think when you look at this Hawks basketball team, the expectations have not changed for me. Even with Jalen, I thought they were a play-in type team. With Jalen, there was a possibility that you would be a top six. I do not think this team, and I know people will throw out the, well, they're only four games out of the loss column to this team and all that other crap. Whatever. This is a play-in team.
It is.
It's a play-in team.
It is. The only way that they aren't
is everything if everything in front of them yeah. collapses.
Which might. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean. If everything in front of them collapses.
Yeah. They are they're the talent of a play-in team.
Yes.
But the Eastern Conference right now is a bit of a mess in front of them. And the Milwaukee Bucks, we've talked a bit about today. Obviously, Giannis is out for a bit. Bobby Portis is suspended for 25 games. They're just, you know, roster-wise, they're just not what they were a couple of years ago. A lot of the guys' core pieces have gotten older or moved on to other places. I think the Pistons are pretty good. They play them tonight. The Hawks.
Yeah, no, we are.
Sorry, they play Orlando tonight.
But, I mean, that's another thing they got to get.
Yeah, Orlando's right in front of them, half a game in front of them in the Eastern Conference standings at 7. And that's a team you can get. They got a lot of injuries they're dealing with as well. I think Jalen Suggs isn't going to play tonight, which is good. I don't think you're going to get caught. Well, the Heat, maybe. I don't know. I'm not really sure what the Heat are.
They got, I mean, their best player is Tyler Hero.
Which is not really. I mean, he's an all-star.
He's an all-star.
Like,
you know. Bam is who he is.
Bam's not having a good year.
But
it's
he
weird.
Is not having a great year. But, I mean, he's still an all-star caliber player.
What's going on with him?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on with Bam.
He played pretty good at the Olympics.
But, yeah, when you talk to, you listen to people down there in Miami, everybody's like, what?
Yeah.
Because you're not used to, even his defense is not where it is.
Right.
And he's one of the better defenders
in five best defenders in the NBA.
Yeah, but a lot of people are in Miami like, is it maybe time to move on Bam?
It's weird. Like, you went from a pretty solid core you believed in a couple years ago. Obviously, it fell apart with Jimmy. They had to do what they had to do. And Tyler Hero, again, nice player. Obviously, made the All-Star game this year. But if Tyler Hero is your best player.
Y'all went for a long damn year.
You're probably a playing team. What it is. The Bulls are going to fall off completely. They traded everybody. The Sixers are a disaster. And everything beyond that, those guys are playing for the lottery. So the Hawks are going to be in the play-in. It's just a matter of development at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a young core. Unfortunately, the key piece of the young core is out for the rest of the year in Jalen Johnson. So, ISO for Reese Shea. Get out of the way.
Get the ball and let's see what you can do, young fella. I mean, that's basically what it is. But
that's not what they're going to do.
Oh,
that would be
not.
Great if they did.
Of course not. Trey is going to do Trey.
Trey's going to have the ball
as he should.
Reese Shea is going to shoot open threes. Yes, and maybe he'll slash a little bit
as he should. But you have Trey, so you should not fall out of it. You know what I mean? Like, Trey is that good of a player that he can sustain this thing, but y'all need to help him see if y'all can gain it. But more than likely, they're going to need collapses in front of him to get to the six.
Yeah. And then what? Then you get the Knicks? That'd be kind of fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, the
Hawks-Knicks?
The Knicks, though.
Playoff series?
It'd be great because the Knicks are still searching. They went out of the whole Tom Thibodeau way. They're an offensive team and a terrible defensive team.
They really
which
are.
This is crazy.
It is really crazy. And they still don't really play any of their bench guys. So they're still that.
Yes.
They're still Tibbs' team in that way.
Be that.
But, I don't know. Top end of the East is about 2.5 strong. Top end of the West is what? Three. You know?
It's like five teams.
It's about 5.5 teams. Yeah. All right. We'll come back. Smoking Joe Patrick's going to join us. We'll talk some Falcons with him. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, check this out. You already know this Trillville.
Yes, sir. You know you listening to Andy and Randy on a Trillville Thursday on what?
92.9.
The game. Let's go.
You're one of the weird side effects of the Wemby thing and all the other injuries this season with the rules they have in the NBA about having to play 65 games to qualify for the postseason awards, including all NBA teams, is look at this list of guys that doesn't qualify this year. All guys that very well could have been, many of them would have been. Luka doesn't qualify, didn't play enough games, won't play enough games. Wemby now with his injury, Joel Embiid, Zion, Kawhi, Paolo Banchero, Ja, Jimmy Butler, Chet Holmgren, and Franz Wagner. Like all guys that very easily could have been at least third team All-NBA guys. So, all right, stay healthy. Play your games.
You'll get in there.
You might.
And you'll be eligible for the Supermax.
Yeah, because I was just kind of going through it just as far as like, All-Star games are All-Star games, and that's great, and you want to go, and you want the honor. But really what you want is to be on one of the All-NBA teams.
Yes.
Especially because now it plays into your ability to make the most money in the NBA. Like, it plays into your contract status. Random dudes make the All-Star team sometimes.
Yes.
There was the guy like Jamal McClure made the All-Star team one year.
Kid out of Oklahoma City. The wing, Williams.
Oh, Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
I think he'll be around. I think he'll make some more. But again, whatever. Why did Jamal McGlure have to catch a stray here on a Thursday?
I was trying to.
He was just the most random guy I could think of that was a one-time All-Star. You don't make random All-NBA teams.
Yes.
Maybe this year you might though. Who knows?
Let's see what
who's going to be on there.
And real quick, y'all, my people, I love y'all. You damn dorks. It ain't Asia's fault, okay? That Bam's having a bad year, okay?
I wouldn't say fault.
It could be a reason.
If it's a reason, that's not a fault.
Man, whatever, man.
He's tired.
Whatever, man.
It seems like hard work.
Head out the gutter, man. Mine out the gutter. Always blaming a woman.
That'd be a tussle right there, man.
I know, man. It's a lot of legs. A lot of legs, man.
Strong bed frame. All right. Speaking of tussling, different type. Let's get to smoking Joe Patrick.
In one corner, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday host, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds.
I don't know, maybe same quarter, time. I don't know what Joe's personal life is like.
Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
I don't know what he's into.
We only see you in the summer.
It's true. None of my business. Hey, Joe. How are you?
What's going on, guys? What's going on?
I don't know, a lot and little. I don't know. It's one of those weird times of year where it's kind of down, but everything's about to pick back up. Obviously, Combine is next week. All the Falcons folks will be up there. We're going to get a chance to talk to Raheem on Tuesday. We'll ask you about some of that stuff in a minute. But the cap goes up yesterday, reportedly, by about $22 million. I know it helps everybody to have more money, but is there like a specific example or a specific thought that you have about how it helps the Falcons particularly to have that extra bit of money?
Well, yeah, I mean, it definitely helps the Falcons. It helps any team really that is looking to get back above the cap, and just kind of gives them more different ways they can do it, because the cap number goes up, but the contracts that are already on the books are fixed costs. And so really it just makes it an easier number to get to. It just makes it easier for the Falcons to get, you know, salary cap compliant. Now, how much does that actually matter? Probably not a ton, because again, like, you want to get to the, below the salary cap to the point where you're then competitive for free agents and such. And obviously everybody now has more money to spend on those free agents. And so it's just something we're seeing over and over again. And, you know, it's crazy to think about, and I'm sure Randy might have some thoughts about this, because these NFL players are now making like twice as much money as they were making, the same players, you know, pretty much the same group of players were making like 10 years ago or so. And that's just, you know, it seems like, you know, Randy, you didn't get, you know, enough value.
I agree.
That's how it feels. I feel like if it were me, I would feel kind of pissed.
I agree. No doubt about that. Damn right.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it makes it a little bit easier for the Falcons for sure.
I want to get your thought on that, also on the Sterling Cup, because the Falcons got a couple decisions to make and two specific players. One, because you can sign him in a Drew Dahlman, who's unrestricted free agent, and also Grady Jarrett with his number. Which is more likely with this new money to not worry about Grady? We're fine with the new cap money. We can you know, bring his number, or it's going out and trying to sign Drew Dahlman, because I don't know what his market is right now. We're talking about Drew Dahlman.
Yeah, you know, I think that actually the money makes it like more palatable, not just to like bring back Grady, but obviously I think it just gives you more kind of ways you can, you know, adjust his contract, whether that's, well, it would be through an extension and adding void years on the end to tack that on. But I think it just gives you more flexibility. I would say it makes it less likely that he's off the team entirely, although I never really felt that it was realistic that the Falcons were just going to cut Grady Jarrett. It always seemed like a situation where the most likely thing that happens is that you do get a reworked extension that allows them to shift some money to future years and make him less of a burden for the immediate future for this team. And I think that it's probably the opposite for Drew Dahlman, because, you know, it's like a stimulus to the entire league. It's like when the $1,000 checks went out, when everybody's got more money now to spend, his price goes up. You know, he's going to make more money, and that's how it's going to be generally. Like every single offseason, I think, as long as the salary cap keeps going up like this, you're going to continue to see new records being broken for, you know, the most expensive safety or whatever position. And you're also going to see, you know, players like Drew Dahlman, who may have before been, you know, valued at a certain number. That number is going to go up because teams just have more money to spend. And I think it's a tough one for the Falcons because, you know, they love Drew Dahlman. They make no, you know, bones about it. I know that fans and some analysts, and I know Chris Thomas, I'll call out Turtle in particular, has kind of been on him for the snapping issues. But I think the Falcons really, really value what he brings, both in what he is as a player, his athleticism, and also just how smart he is, and kind of having to be that cerebral guy as a center. But, you know, I think that, you know, teams are going to come after him. And I've seen this number being floated around today of rumors that, you know, he could go for up to $20 million a year. And that is out of the Falcons' range with the constraints that they're already under. So if that's the number, he's not going to be a Falcon, but we'll see where it ends up. And I do think the Falcons will obviously make a huge push to try to get him back.
Okay, because that's kind of what I wanted to clarify, because you gave an example of different positions setting records and then sort of transition to him. Were you saying that that's what he's going to do, or was those okay? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, not
number,
him in particular.
I saw that. I saw that $20 million number too, and that sort of made my eyebrows raise. But like, what did you anticipate it being for him?
I would still be surprised if, I mean, like the $20 million, like that number would really surprise me. I think that he was kind of being pegged for around like $13 million or so before this.
Yeah. All right.
And I would say after this, you probably push that up by a million or two. You know, maybe teams then have a little bit more money to spend, so they're willing to maybe, you know, throw in a little bit more. But I will say this, if you're really looking to make him your centerpiece center, you know, I don't know how wise that is personally, because I do think that he has some deficiencies in his game. I still think he's by far the Falcons' best, you know, starting center.
Yeah.
I think that there's actually a pretty big gap between him and Ryan Neuzel, and if it is Neuzel as the center next year, then they'll have to work around that. But I still think if you're going to pay truly, truly top dollar for him, I don't know if that's the wisest way to spend money if you're a team looking to rebuild.
I think if they don't pay him, you got to draft a center, right? I mean, you got to.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You might use an early pick on something like that. I know Spotrac's market value is not gospel. It's sort of just a ballpark, but they have him at like 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Because, I mean, when I say
they said 3 years, $20 million, and that's the value of the full contract, 7-ish per.
Yeah. I would say the thing is that he's the best one at his position on the market. So those guys are always going to push him at least to 10.
Now that helps.
That'll push him at least to 10, 12.
Good for him. Good time to be a free agent center.
Exactly.
JP, when you look, I mean, obviously, we all kind of know. We all think. Let's go. When we talk about the Falcons, you got to think. We think they're going to draft an edge rusher.
Now I think they're going to draft a center.
We think. I don't know who the first round center is, but we think that they're going to figure out a way to go get some pass rush help here. We were talking about the franchise tag, and we know there's no way in hell they're franchising anybody like that. But other two guys who might be eligible, do you see either one of those guys coming back at a specific number? I'm talking about Judon and Simmons.
No, I don't. I think, just based on the way that the defense played last year, I think it would almost kind of be like a bad look from a PR perspective to bring one of those players back. And it's just, you know, it's time to move on. Those are older players. It clearly didn't work out last year, unfortunately. I think everybody wanted it to, obviously. But, you know, this defense, you got to kind of think about what this defense is going to look like, not just next year, but how it's going to look, you know, down the road. And you've got to start laying those bricks in place right now, and that's where this draft is so important. I think this is probably the most important draft, obviously, because there's a lot of pressure on Terry Fontenot and this team to produce and be a playoff team next year. But also, when you just look at the cap situation, obviously, and they're kind of behind the eight ball with what's happened at the quarterback position. So you've got to start hitting on some of these third, fourth, fifth rounders, and obviously they're short with picks this year. We'll see if that maintains itself or if they are able to acquire any before the draft starts. But, you know, it's going to be so important for them to hit on some of these guys. And when you look around the league at the top teams, how many of them, you know, have a center that they drafted in the third or fourth round who's playing at a really high level, or, you know, a nickel corner, sure, or, you know, the edge player. So, yeah, it's going to be obviously a super important draft. But like you said, Randy, like, I think this team has to address the edge position with their top capital they have this offseason.
Joe, we got 30 seconds. I know you were at the press conference yesterday for the introduction down there, Atlanta United. The expectations for this weekend?
Yeah. I mean, I think their team's all really excited. I'll be interested to see how it looks, because it looks like they could be down at least three of their back four in the defensive back line. It looks like both fullbacks are going to be out, and so they'll be using backups there. And then potentially at least one of their center backs could be out. Derek Williams did not train today. They hope to get him back tomorrow. So that will throw a wrinkle into things, but I think overall the squad, the coaching staff and the front office is just really excited for what this team's going to do. And I frankly am just thankful to have survived the press conference today. It was so cold and windy and that thing, my jaw was like seizing up. I could barely move my mouth to answer a question. So we got through that, and now we're just looking forward to Saturday.
Why didn't they do it inside?
A great question. You'll have to ask them. I would have been all for that.
Okay. All right, Joe, thank you.
Appreciate it, JP.
Smoke of Joe Patrick there, 92.9 The Game, Falcons reporter, Atlanta United as well. And no fan of this weather. No fan of this cold. Like Lily said this morning, that wind is mean.
The wind is mean.
It's cold, but the wind is just coming, and it's
hits you.
Biting.
It hits
right
you
through your jacket into your bones. Yes. Just really rude. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic, the phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Load them up. We got six phone lines. Load them up. Ask us anything. We'll answer them next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. Final hour of the show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. The AMA every single day to wrap up the show. Any question, any topic. Phone number is 404-726-0929. A couple phone lines available if you want to jump on. Let's start with Mike in Marietta. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How we doing today?
Good, Mike.
Hey, so I got the perfect question for you, Andy.
Okay.
And Randy. As far as, have you guys ever seen the movie The Sixth Man?
Yeah, where Marlon Wayans.
Yeah, Marlon Wayans in him, yeah.
Kadeem Hardison was a ghost.
Yeah.
Were you an extra in that movie, Andy, or not?
No. Why?
Oh, because Washington. Because Washington.
Yeah, Washington.
Yeah, the college.
I thought maybe you saw a guy in the movie that looked like it was. I don't know if they filmed it at Washington, but yeah, it was a Washington Huskies movie. That's right.
And then, Randy, man, Busch Light. So they have two flavors out there: apple and peach. Have you tried it yet?
Hell no.
Thank you, Mike.
Man, that peach is so fire, though. You got to try it.
There's
you
no
try it.
Mike says the peach is fire.
Mike, there's no way in hell. Mike said it's
fire. Is that
fire.
On the same list as Truly's?
Hell yeah, it is.
Which one would you be more likely to
Neither
try
Neither one of them. Andy, I don't drink flavored-ass beer.
But if your life depended on it, there's got to be an answer there.
At least it's still a Busch Light.
No, it ain't no Busch Light. It ain't no Busch Light. It's peach. It's peach beer. It is apple beer.
What about the apple one?
No.
No?
No.
What about a hard cider?
Why would I do that?
It's called hard.
No. they got to get other dudes drinking. That's why. No, you can't fool me. you can't fool me.
I guess they call it hard seltzer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no. And
they don't have to call it hard beer. They just call it beer.
I've evolved. That's y'all thing. Have at it. But just don't offer it to me.
You just don't want any.
Yes,
yeah,
don't
want
made
that very clear.
He said it's fire.
He said the peach was fire. I wasn't an extra in The Sixth Man. That movie came out probably when I was in elementary school. Okay. That movie came out a long time ago. Now, it was cool as a kid because, like, Marlon Wayans was a big deal at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Huskies won a national championship in the movie. The best Washington, like, Seattle sports teams got when I was a kid was in movies. Sixth Man, mm-hmm. They had to have a ghost. Mm-hmm. Literally, his teammate died and then came back and helped him.
Uh-huh.
Like, which is ridiculous.
And
then in the movie Little Big League, the Mariners were the bad guys. Ken Griffey Jr. and the Mariners were the bad guys.
I hated that movie because they made Ken Griffey Jr. the bad guy.
I know. I loved the ending because I was like, great, the Mariners won.
Yeah. Like, whatever, man. Ken Griffey ain't no bad. How Ken Griffey walked up to the plate and stuff.
Yeah, I know. Like, they tried to make him Clue Haywood.
What are we doing?
He's like the most likable guy in sports.
What are we doing?
Randy Johnson was in there, too. I guess he was a little unlikable because he was kind of scary looking. But
what are we doing?
I was an extra in Ozark. Remember the show Ozark?
I remember the Ozark, and I remember we talked about this, but your part was never shown, right?
No.
Oh.
No. I got paid for a day's work on the show Ozark. On the first episode, when Jason Bateman went to the bank and withdrew all the cash, right, because they had to leave because the cartel was about to kill him. And so I was a bank teller at the bank, but I was further down the bank, whatever you call it, desk, I guess.
Yeah.
There was like 20 bankers. I was like way down the line. So I didn't.
How did you get picked for banker number 20? Did you read for the part?
No, any lines. That's a great question. That's a great question. I mean, a lot of times extras are just like, we need people that look like blank.
You like a banker?
I mean, I don't not look like a banker.
Right.
They get like a herd of you in there, so they'll probably have 50 people that look like bankers. Literally, before that scene is shot, in most cases, they'll come into the room where you're sitting there waiting, and they'll be you, I need you.
Yep. I got a free haircut.
I got your hair, too?
Because they needed to trim up the back just a little bit. But they were like, you got to be clean shaven. You got to basically look like a banker, whatever that means, without saying what they mean. Like, you know what they mean. And, like, bring a tie. And so I went and sat around all day. It sucked. That's why I only did it once. It was super boring. It took forever. And all the other extras, like, had done it a lot and all thought that, you know,
they were gonna
this
get
would be
big
my
role.
Big break. And they talked about it. They were all, like, you know, like, jargony. You know when people are in a industry and they use jargon and they were kind of condescending and I was like, I don't want to do this. I got paid like $87.
What are you going to eat from craft services today?
Yeah, and I got like a sandwich, you know. I did get a haircut though, so that was kind of cool. But I know I wasn't in it. We you know, when it came out, I was like, all right, let's check. I was like, oh man, I'm over there. I swear to God. I should have just saved I needed the $87 at the time though. Which is why I was doing extra work. When I first moved to Atlanta, I didn't have a job. I was driving Uber. Being an extra in Ozark, you know?
Got to make ends
meet. Making ends
meet.
Doing what we have to do. Rich is in Alpharetta. Hey, Rich.
What's going on, fellas? Two questions, and all the dads can answer the first one. So my first question is, what makes you feel appreciated the most about being a dad? And my second question is, would you rather have your dream man cave, all the bells and whistles, or a dream backyard, like a grilling outdoor entertainment with the fire pit, the bars, swimming pool, the fireworks? Which one would y'all pick?
Great questions. Both great questions.
I would definitely outside. I love being outside. Yeah. I hate the fact that it's cold because, like, she likes to have people over. But when I like people over when we can go outside. I hate being in the house with a bunch of damn people.
Yep.
So I would definitely stay backyard.
No, that's the dream. Someday. Like, you know, just a full-on – outdoor kitchen,
yep,
pool, patio, bar, all that kind of stuff. What makes you feel most appreciated? The thing right now that makes me feel, because there's a million things, like right. It's just endlessly wonderful. But the thing right now that makes me feel most appreciated is she's really into drawing.
Mm-hmm.
So when she'll draw pictures and it's me and her or whatever,
it's so cool.
And it's like for daddy, we got one of the, one of those frames that you can do where you can stack all the art on top of it. Because we're running out of space on magnetic surfaces.
Yeah.
So we got one of those picture frames that you can refill, which is great. So every day there's this like new art in it, which is awesome. But it's the best. Like she's, you know, she emphasizes the size of my head a little bit, I would say. She maybe could scale it down a little.
Really?
I don't know what she's trying to say, but... Yeah, when she draws pictures and it's dad, come on.
Like, I just think anytime they do anything positive, I just get choked up watching my daughter yesterday sitting on the couch writing essays for college.
That's awesome.
And I was just like, look at my baby.
That's awesome.
Look at my sweet girl.
Yeah. Bo?
So I think right now with my youngest being 11 and in this day and age, she has a phone too, to look over at my phone and see any of them calling, because it does not happen.
Mm-hmm.
To see them calling.
What? What's wrong? What's wrong?
Right.
Yeah. You still like to see them calling.
Yes.
Which makes you, you know, makes me kind of feel bad, because I'm the same way to my parents. I hardly ever call them, or I don't call them enough, I think, you know. But to see that. And then, the artwork thing is, I got Olivia's artwork all over my freaking house.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the absolute best. All right. Wendy is in Lawrenceville. Hey, Wendy.
Hey. First question is, is it possible to get another team's general manager to the Falcons, i.e. Howie Roseman? And second question is, do you think that some players say LeBron James stick around too long and keep opportunities from the younger players that are coming up?
Thanks, Wendy. I don't think the LeBron one.
No, that's not his
fault. If you're making the league, you're going to make the league.
Yeah. LeBron doesn't hold the fact that people – think like that. I'm not saying anything against when, like, LeBron's holding the game back.
No, he's playing really good.
He's playing really, really good. You know, he's a top 10 player.
Yeah,
in the world,
he really is.
Yeah,
it's remarkable.
Yeah.
What he's doing at 40 years old. Like, people keep expecting there to be a drop off, and there's been a little bit of one just because he can't do it on both ends of the floor for 40 minutes a night like he did 10 years ago.
Right.
But I mean, he's 40. You know what I mean? Howie Roseman does a good job.
He's really good at his job, Andy.
Now, I don't think they're gonna get rid of him.
He took a beer can to the face.
He sure did. Now, what was that?
Can to a face.
Well, now, was that him being bad at catching, or was he just not aware?
I don't think he
wasn't looking.
He wasn't looking.
And now, they may not have been aiming at him.
They might not have been aiming, because you remember when we were at the one parade we were in, and somebody threw a beer, and Ozzy had to reach out and snatch it.
There were beers flying.
It was about to get the hell knocked out of him by a beer. But yeah, he took one to the face. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to keep your head on a swivel at the championship parades.
Yeah,
you don't full beer, full 12 ounce to
coming
the forehead?
At that angle?
That
and
hurts.
That speed? Yeah, that's going to bust you up. They're going to have you leaking.
But to answer your question,
no.
No. I think he's probably staying up there.
Yeah.
JG is in South Fulton.
Yeah.
JG.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
I'm not a Falcons fan. I'm a Ravens fan, but I listen to the show all the time, so I'm kind of invested in the Falcons. I hear a lot of people asking if they should draft Mykael Williams. Do y'all feel like he's too raw to come to the Falcons right now to make a difference? Wouldn't it make more sense to, like, jump up for, like, a Abdul Carter if y'all really looking for that number one pass?
Well, that'd be great. Yeah, I mean, that would be great if you can go up there and get
Abdul
Carter.
You're going to have to get into the top five.
But you got to get in the top five to do that.
They don't have any draft assets.
Yeah, they don't have a lot to get them. But, the raw thing, you're absolutely correct. But you take a chance when that raw is like that. Now, could he be is he a immediate impact? Very rarely are rookies pass rushers just their full selves as a rookie.
I know.
Very rarely. Now, it happens sometimes.
Jared Verse.
But very rarely very do you good. Have it.
Basically, if you're taking him, obviously you're betting on traits. Who did we talk to about him today?
No, we heard Todd McShay.
Todd McShay said it. That's right. Todd McShay said it today, which is a lot of how guys at that position get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like very NBA-ish how they drafted that position. It's like, he's not there yet.
He's
got stuff you can't teach.
Right.
So at that point, then you're banking on your development.
Yep.
And, I mean, I'm sure they believe in their development, because otherwise they wouldn't hire those guys.
Right.
But we haven't seen a ton of it. Over the years. I guess Arnold Ebiketie's gotten better.
He's gotten better. Yeah, he's gotten better. I think the biggest thing with Mykael is, And to my man's call is like, will your general manager and head coach be around to see that?
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're basically saying if it's a raw project that you feel like is going to be a couple years before he's really impactful, mm-hmm. you're good. But again, last year they drafted a quarterback in the first round and said they had the flexibility to do that because we're going to be so good now
that
for so long that it doesn't matter. We can draft. Remember that?
Yeah.
We can draft whatever we want because we're so good. So maybe they still feel like that. Because that was only last year.
That was like, wait, he ain't been a year.
Yeah, that wasn't even a year yet. When they told us we're so good, we can draft a player that hopefully doesn't play because we're so good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Bobby's in Atlanta. Hey, Bobby.
It's Tobobby, but...
Oh, hey, Tobobby, sorry.
Again. So I was listening to an interview with Magic Johnson, and he said his father made a statement that Randy could relate to. And said that he stayed in college next year because he was broke 18 years and his dad said yep. he'd be broke another year. But my actual question is, what sports conspiracy do y'all believe in? I don't believe Will hit 100. There's no way that he is not recorded. I've seen too many things that don't make any sense for that not to have been on video. What is the sports conspiracy y'all believe in?
Okay. Well, to Bobby,
thanks to Bobby.
My mother said that to me.
Said?
I said, we've been poor this long. It was another year.
Oh, God.
Andrew did tell me that, which is so funny.
It's a great line.
She did tell me that.
What's another year?
It was another year. We've been poor this long. She did say me that. I'm not a big conspiracy guy.
I'm not either. But my question about the Wilt thing is, because this has been popular the last handful of years. Because, like, there's a new generation of fans that anything we didn't see probably didn't happen.
Those Bobby.
Who would stand to benefit from the conspiracy that Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points?
I don't understand.
Who benefits from that?
Nobody.
Wilt, I guess. But Wilt's legacy was secure anyway.
Yeah, between
that's not even the first thing we talk about when we talk about Wilt.
We talk about, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
And then all the rebounding.
Wilt was the latest slayer. Not that he couldn't beat the Celtics. No. It's about Wilt was like knocking them back.
I don't like the Jordan baseball thing.
The Jordan flu game, like, oh, he wasn't really
hungover.
He was hungover. Like,
that's not really a conspiracy theory, though.
But, I mean,
no, you know what? The one that I do buy, if there's any NBA related conspiracy theory, I do buy the Patrick Ewing draft day envelope.
Yes.
I do
buy. Why do you believe that?
Because it benefited the NBA and New York to have Patrick Ewing go there.
Okay.
Like, to me, that's always how I'm immediately discounting a conspiracy if I can't come up with a logical reason of benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why the NBA would want Patrick Ewing in New York.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, biggest city,
and then there's
all the
little things. It's a frozen thing, and Stern bangs it on the side of the thing to bend it so they know the right one to draw.
It happens.
It might have happened.
It might have.
And Stern would do that. David Stern would absolutely do that. That's the thing about it. He'll do anything he can to make the NBA more profitable and better.
And you got the biggest star in a while coming in.
Yeah, bring Patrick Ewing to the Knicks. All right, let's get takeaways of the day. Takeaways of the day, everybody, Rabbit Show.
My gal Lily, and I quote, "The wind is mean."
It's being mean this morning. Mr. Rufus has an old rusty pocket knife.
Yeah, yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah. It will poke you.
I love learning stuff about Mets fans. Today we learned that they are very passionate, but also a delusional fan base.
Yes.
And the latest draft profile on Mykal Williams is that he has a beautiful body. According to Tom
McShay. Didn't have to say that.
McShay can't wait for him to get into for the weigh-in.
He didn't have to say that. Dude, draft analysis really does walk up to that line every single time. It's like, all right, we get it. His hands are big. Stop there. Dukes and Bell coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.